Good morning, everybody. Glad to be here. I'm so excited to be here. I feel comfortable just because you guys are comfortable with a PC up here. And I think I have this banter with Pastor Chris, like, my name's actually PC. You just like to go by PC. So, but this is my actual name. I'm happy to be here. I'm excited to talk about some things that God has just put in, had on my heart for the last several months. I just can't get out of my head. And it's just one of those times, one of those seasons in my life. And I'll talk a little bit about how that was perfect for where we are today with you all. But if you have Bibles with you or phones with Bible apps on them, turn to Luke chapter 18. That's where we're going to be. We're going to jump in there in a few minutes. You guys have all been in this series about tribe and what does it look like to be tribe and to be a part of a tribe. And I spoke with Pastor Chris a bit about it and in the direction that I would like to go. He even asked, you know, like when the word tribe comes to your mind, what are some of the things that come about? What does your heart speak into the concept of tribe? And so we started to talk about it, and I gave him a bunch of input about what I thought and what it means to me when I think about a tribe and what it means to be a part of a tribe. And I kept trying to throw all these ideas, and kind of kept getting this sense that it was like, oh yeah, well we already talked about that. We already spoke about that part. And we already did that at another part in the series. And so then there was this moment earlier this last week, and I text Pastor Chris and Brian, and I just said, well, let me just tell you where I'm at right now and where God has been like just engaging my heart in the last couple of months, and then just see what you guys think about that. And as I pitched to him, he said, oh my gosh, that perfectly resonates. That perfectly resonates with where we are as a church. And he says, I think that it really actually connects to tribe very well. Why don't you just do that? So that's really exciting for me because I think there is something I believe about this church, because I have something that I believe about any church and every church. I believe that every Sunday through those doors walks grace on crutches, walks faith on crutches. Every Sunday, I believe, including today, walking through those doors are any number of individuals barely holding it together. And when you realize that and you take note of that fact that every single Sunday comes through those doors, grace on crutches, what poses the question for me is, what kind of tribe awaits those people? What kind of tribe awaits the people coming through the doors on crutches? So I want to talk a little bit about that today, and we're going to jump into several texts, but we will mostly land in Luke chapter 18 in a few minutes. But before I do, let me pray before we start. God, thank you for just who you are, for being who you are. You have shown me over and over again that you just won't stop calling my name. And I don't understand why you give me or anyone the opportunity to talk about your word to other people. But God, I lay all of that at your feet. If we walk out of here no closer to your heart than we were before we got here, we have wasted our morning. Let us see you. Let us hear you. And if that has nothing to do with a word out of my mouth, it would still be the greatest result. Just let us see you, let us hear you, and let us walk out of here closer to your heart than we were before we got here. And we will give you praise, we will give you glory, and we will give you honor forever. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We have a tendency to quit things. We have a strong tendency. Often, we like to quit things, and we place a period where God puts a comma and we give up on these things, when we come to those moments, we have a tendency to give up on a story that God never quit writing. We have a tendency to give up on a story long before God ever gives up on a story, including the stories we are actually living. We like to quit long before God ever quits. And there's something that happens in that period of time when we are faced with God's comma, where we want to just put a period and say, it's all over, it's never going to work, and it's never going to get better, and I'm going to stay stuck here. There's a season that that comes and goes with. And I know that season pretty well, and I think probably somebody in this room knows that season very well. And I want to talk a little bit about what that season looks like. My pastor calls it the season of delay, and I like that. I might say that a couple times today, just because I like my pastor. But also, that season makes sense to me. We come into these seasons of delay, and we get stuck in those times. Acts chapter 1, this is not where I ask you to turn, but in Acts chapter 1, you know the story. Verse 4 says, and while staying with them, Jesus ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me. So this is Acts chapter 1. Jesus is telling the disciples, telling all of his people, I'm about to leave and I need you to go and wait for the promise I've given you. I need you to go and wait. And he's talking about the Holy Spirit that would eventually come to them at Pentecost, but you need to go over to here and wait for this gift that I have already promised to you. And then in verse 12, then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey away. So they go and do as they were told. And when they had entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying, Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas and Bartholomew and Matthew and James and the son of Alphaeus and Simon the Zealot, a bunch of people. We're all there. Verse 14, all these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer together with the women and the Mary and the mother of Jesus and his brothers. So they go, as they were told, I need you to go over here. Jesus says, I am leaving, and then you need to go here and wait for the promise that I am giving to you, which is my Holy Spirit that is going to be present in you. But that counselor will come to you when you go over here and you wait for that to happen. And then that happens. Then they jump down to chapter 2 of Acts, and it says in verse 1, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. Yeah, they were in the upper room where they were told to go. So they were all up there waiting. Verse 2, and suddenly, this is an important phrase I want you to catch for the rest of this morning. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting and divided the tongues of fire and appeared on them and rested on each one of them. And then as we see, the moment of Pentecost explodes all over them. What exactly God told them to go and wait for has happened. And it happens, and suddenly. A lot of scholars debate what happens between the moment that Jesus died and then the moment of Pentecost. And some have said it's anywhere from maybe a week, but it also have some said there was maybe about 50 days between the day Jesus died and Pentecost coming to them. Either way, whether it's a week or it's 50 days, there is a waiting period that happens. This waiting period is anywhere between a week long or 50 days. But what is important is that there is a waiting period that these people go and they sit and they pray and they worship and they wait for the promise that was given to them that would come to them, and they wait for it. And then in Acts chapter 2 begins, or in Acts chapter 2 verse 2, it begins with this, and suddenly it came about. Here's the phrase I want us to see today, and suddenly. It shows up a few times. Acts chapter 16, it shows up in the story of Paul and Silas going to prison. It says, as we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had met a spirit of divination and brought her owners much gain by fortune telling. She followed Paul and us
crying out, "These men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to you the war or the way of salvation." Sorry, there's a shadow. And this she kept doing for many days. Paul, this is one of my favorite phrases in all of Scripture, having become greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out of her that very hour. I see you, Paul. And when her owners saw that their hope of gain was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the rulers. So they are wrongfully accused, thrown into prison, and they are sent there. When you go to prison, there's some waiting that happens. And they're waiting in prison. And in verse 25, it says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying. Notice what they were doing, also what the group at Pentecost were doing, praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Verse 26 of Acts chapter 16. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all of the doors were opened and everyone's bonds were unfastened. And then we jump down here to Luke chapter 18, where you guys are. Let's read verses 1, starting in verse 1, this story that many of you have heard. And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. There is a reason he tells us this parable. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected men. And there was a widow in the city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. Another person, greatly annoyed. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says, and will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them. How quickly? Speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, he will find faith on earth. Verse 1 tells us why this parable is even being told, why Jesus has on his heart and his mind to tell you this parable, to tell his people this parable. He is telling them this parable for a reason. He is speaking this parable so that we might always pray and not lose heart. And that's important because there are seasons in our lives where we feel stuck and we feel like a delay and we feel like nothing is moving. There are seasons in our lives when we lose heart. People in your tribe are losing heart. Seasons come and go. There is a transition of all things keep transitioning in the middle of our seasons as we come in and out of good seasons. We come out of, coming out of winter. I don't know. I don't recognize seasons out here in California like I used to. So I think we're coming out of winter, and eventually we're going to go into spring, and all kinds of change happens in the middle of that transition. And as it turns out, our lives operate in seasons. We come in and out of and through, and particularly today I want to talk about that season of delay, that season where I feel stuck, I feel frozen, I feel like I'm at a standstill. We need a better context for that season of delay because too many people quit in that season. And there are people in this room who get shipwrecked in those seasons of feeling stuck. There are some of us who have already run aground in this season of delay. Some of you need to go back and pick up the prayers that you laid down a long time ago. And we need to get to this point where we can realize, what am I going to do in the seasons of delay where I actually feel stuck? And it's something I want to show you regarding that season of delay is that most often the moments of acceleration follow a season of delay. Sometimes, often what I've seen is that there's an "and suddenly" at the end of your season of delay. And we have to keep our eye out for that season of delay to come to a close. Not long ago, I had Micah 7:7 on my heart, and it couldn't shake it. This is where all of this began to happen. "As for me, I will seek the Lord. I will wait on the God of my salvation, because I know he hears me." And God continued to hammer away at those compartments and those chambers in my heart that involve waiting, that involve patience, that involve listening. But here's the thing, I don't like to do any of those things. In fact, I don't have time for those things. I don't have time for patience and waiting and listening. In those times of delay, what I need is a plan. What I need is direction. I need action on God's part. He does know that, right? Have you ever, this is Lincoln, I know you have. Have you shot a bow and arrow? Anybody shot a bow and arrow? Yeah. I remember one of the first times I shot a bow and arrow, because it's one of like two times I've shot a bow and arrow. But I can remember, I can still feel my muscles in the drawn tension of a bow. I can still feel my muscles in that moment of drawn tension. I can feel the tension in the bow, in my muscles, while I wait for something and I try to line up with something that I can't quite see yet. And I can feel the second that I line up with my target, and with a simple release of my fingers, I let an arrow fly and release all of the tension in the bow. And I have to imagine what it must be like to be the arrow in my hands. I have to imagine it also feels the tension of waiting to let fly. I have to imagine it wants to trust me, even though it doesn't even see the bullseye that it's being lined up with. I have to imagine it must be hard to wait in that tension until I have lined it up perfectly and with a simple release, let it fly. I have to also obviously imagine myself an arrow not yet prepared to fly, but in the hands of a very skilled archer who is still aiming and lining me up with his purposes for my life. And in that tension of waiting, I'm actually being lined up. In that tension of what feels like stuck, what feels like nothing is working, in that tension of waiting, I'm actually being aimed and lined up and prepared to let fly. And most of our delayed seasons, God has a way of answering suddenly. Verse 6 and 8 of the passage that we just read begins to show us these moments that begin to line themselves up. And in verse 6 and 8, or 6 through 8, it says, "The Lord said, 'Hear what the righteous judge says. Will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long after them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, he will find faith on earth.'" Often moments of acceleration follow a season of delay. And you may be in that season right now of delay. You may be in that season that feels like stuck. But hear me, your season will shift. This season that you are in will shift. There will be a moment when all of the tension that has been happening in your waiting will be released and everything will shift. It will happen, and God tends to shift those things very quickly after a time of lining up, after a time of delay, after a time of what feels like stuck. And the trouble is, we just don't understand the timing. We don't know when. If God would tell me when, this would make everything so much easier. If he would just say, your moment of acceleration is coming, PC, and in fact, it's going to happen in 3 weeks from now on a Wednesday at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, it's going to come to you, and I'd be like, I trust you with all my heart. But I don't get any of that, and neither do you. We don't get the exact moment of when. We do not know when, but much like the arrow, when your tension and season of delay ends, it will end suddenly, and it will launch you into your next season. Now, that sounds great. Sounds wonderful, actually. But what about now, right? What about right now? What do I do while I'm in this season? There are a few things that tend to happen when we are in this season. Remember, our tendency is to quit. And the reason why most of us come to a point where we end up quitting and putting a period where God put a comma is because in the season of delay and that tension, we are very vulnerable to lies. When I'm looking for answers, I often come to wrong conclusions. And that's because there is a lie that gets in. Discouragement, for one, in the middle of our tension, discouragement always revolves around a lie that you believe. If you're in your season of delay right now, I don't know what it looks like. I don't know what you're waiting on. I don't know what is coming, what is down the line, what is your shift. Well, I don't know what you're waiting for and what God is having is lining you up for. But in this season, if you feel discouragement, stop for a second and look around because there is a lie somewhere that you are believing about yourself, that you're believing about who God is, that you're believing about this entire context and this entire situation. There is some kind of lie that has made its way into your heart if you allow that discouragement to put a period where God has put a comma. And we have to get against those. We get distracted in our seasons of delay and we quit trying, we quit searching. In our seasons of being stuck, we cannot get distracted because I know where my hope comes from. Not only do I know where it comes from, I know the one who has my breakthrough in his fingertips. I know that person. I know he has me in that tension, and I know that he has my breakthrough in his fingertips as soon as I'm lined up right, as soon as I'm lined up with what I need to be, and just letting me fly will happen when it is time. And when you are in those seasons of delay, you not only need to learn to find the discouragement and then find the lie that's behind it, but you've got to find a tribe that will stand with you. And if you cannot find a tribe, you need to go looking for it. We have to find a tribe that will be the, we have to understand what I need a tribe to be. What do I need a tribe to be when I am stuck and tempted to quit and put a period where God put a comma? So here are a few things I just want to leave you with that I want you to hold on to. And as you are a member of the tribe, you might not be in your season right now. That means you're the tribe. So what are you going to do to be the tribe for those who are in that season right now? First one, do not get isolated. You cannot get isolated. Stay connected to other people in your season of waiting. Do not do this by yourself. I need people. I need people who will replace the lies that I'm listening to. When I'm tempted to quit in the middle of my tension, and I'm tempted to quit and give up and put periods and just end the story and quit the story, I need people who will recognize those lies in me and help replace them with the truth that they know is there. I need people around me. I need people near me. I need people around me who can say, that is not who you are. That is not who you are. You have more in this and more in you than this. And this moment will pass. This moment will shift. I need people to remind me of that when I'm stuck in the season of delay. And it's a moment that's so important because you have to surround yourself with the right people, especially when you begin to face the moments of tension, and as the bow is being drawn, it is important to surround yourself with those people, because there will always be other people who will seek to remind you of a lesser version of yourself. There will always be people around you who will constantly bring up all of the other things. So you need to surround yourself with people who see your potential. They see the best in you. People who know, I am greater than my addictions. I am greater than my failures. And I'm greater than my past. And I need people to speak those truths in the midst of my drawn tension. I need tribe like the paralyzed man in Luke 5, who had a tribe that said, at any cost, we will get you to Jesus. The Bible says that that man was stuck. Not always is the point about being stuck. The more important thing is, who are you stuck around? Because who you find yourself stuck around can be the difference between staying stuck and the power to get free. And it's a good thing for this man that in Luke 5, that he had a right group of friends, he had a right group of people, and after everything that they could, they did everything they could, they still said, we're going to do everything we can to get you to Jesus, even if that means climbing on top of this roof and lowering you through the top. We will get you to Jesus. Do you know how to recognize when you're isolating yourself? Like there's one big tell sign that you've begun to isolate yourself in this season. You'll notice a few pity parties starting to pop up. Pity parties are parties of one. Like, ain't no party like a pity party, because the pity party is by yourself. And that doesn't work. I can't stay in this season by myself. I don't want anyone to leave me off to be by myself. I need people. I need friends like the one in Luke chapter 5 who says, no, we're not leaving you down there. We were with you before you got stuck. We're going to stay with you while you're stuck. And we're going to stay with you and walk with you until you get free. That's the kind of friends, those are the types of people we need. Number two, do not believe that in this season, if you are in a tension-building season, do not believe that God is not working. God is active right now in your stuck. God is active right now in what feels like stuck to you. God is never not working. Revelation 21:5 is one of my favorite passages, where God says, behold, I am making all things new. I am making. That's an ongoing present tense. That means still right now, I am making all things new. Right now, I'm making all things new. Ongoing present tense at all times. Behold, I am making all things new. This ongoing present tense. And just because you don't see it does not mean he's not doing work. Pay attention to that part in your heart that begins to believe he's not doing anything right now. God is preparing in the middle of your time of feeling stuck, in the season of tension, God is preparing and suddenly for you. And that shift will come, but it will often come and suddenly. Keep an eye out for your and suddenly. And the third thing is, continue to pray and to worship. There is a gift that you offer to God in the moments of your delay and in your tension. It is a gift that you cannot offer to him when everything is in your next season. You won't even be there anymore. There's some part of your heart that if I choose in the middle of my tension, in the middle of my delay, in the middle of what I'm waiting to still happen, in the waiting for that shift, there is something that happens in my heart in that moment. If I offer that part of my heart, it is something that I can only offer him now. I won't have it later. When my moment of shift comes and when he finally lines me up and lets me fly, I won't have whatever this is inside of me. So I offer whatever I have. I offer to God everything I've got. Even if it feels like less than I had last week, it's still everything I've got right now. And I won't have it when you let me fly. I'll have something different then. I will have something different then that I will still offer to you. And it will be only for that season. But right now, I am in a moment of tension, waiting for a shift to happen. And I have to keep praying. I have to keep giving you what I have. Revelation 5:8 says, did I give you guys that one? Okay. Revelation 5:8. This is it's an interesting image for us to take with us as we close today. Revelation 5:8 says, and when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each beholding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And it says later that he began to pour out the bowl. And I love that image, just the image of a bowl that's full of prayer. Full of prayers of the saints, full of the worship of the saints, that eventually gets so full that it has to tip. And in the middle of your tension, keep putting things in that bowl. Be devoted to saying that right now, I can only offer this. I will only have this right now. Whatever this is, that stuff of my heart in the middle of my tension, I only have this right now, and I won't even have it later. So I'm going to keep giving that to God. I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep worshiping, and I'm going to fill that bowl until it tips. I'm going to fill that bowl with all of my prayers and all of my worship until it tips out over. Because I'm devoted to staying focused on the one I know has my breakthrough in his fingertips. And when the moment is right, when it's at its tipping point, when I've finally been aimed and lined up, I will be let fly in a suddenly moment that launches me into my next season. And I'm devoted to getting to that shift. Because when you get distracted by your discouragement, that's where we start to just sit down and we start to put periods where God puts commas. And when we sit there, we might miss the shift. We might miss our "and suddenly" moment because I'm still sitting here stuck with my head down. Keep your head up, keep your eyes up, and focus on the one that you know has your breakthrough in his fingertips. Stay focused. And if you're not in your season of delay, tribe, stay focused. There ought to be a rule here. I'm going to impose a new rule for you all. you are not allowed to isolate here. Like, if you notice people isolating from this group, that should bother you. That should matter to you. And if you notice yourself isolating from this community, from this tribe, that should bother you too. But pay attention, because people have walked through these doors on crutches today, and they need you to be the tribe that says, I will get you to Jesus. I will walk with you until we get you to Jesus, and I won't let you stay by yourself in that moment. Let me pray, and then we're going to move on with the rest of our morning, all right? Because I'm done. Let me pray. God, thank you for who you are again. God, we thank you for your reminders of what you are always doing, that you are always working, even when I can't understand it and I can't even see it. I trust that you are still doing something, that you are making this new. You are making this ready for the next season. And even, I can still think of moments when that season went for a really long time. Like a really long time. But I can still think and picture the suddenly moments that you brought them all to a close and launched me into another. So God, I pray for my friends in this room who feel stuck and like you're not doing something, that are feel drawn in the tension of being waiting to let fly into their next season. I pray for those friends that are in this room right now. And I ask, God, that you would surround them just with not just your love, but your love through their own tribe, that you would break our hearts, that you would open my eyes to see those people, that you would open my eyes and my ears to hear and see the people around me in my life that are stuck, and give me a heart of a friend like Luke 5. I will not let you stay here. And this is not what you're meant for. You are meant for your shift. You are meant for your other seasons, and you'll get there. Give me that heart to find it and to see it and to recognize it. And I ask the same thing for these friends who are here in this room, and for this church and for this community. And for all of it, we will always give you glory, and we will always give you praise, because you are worthy of it. And so we pray this in Jesus' name.